This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Atlanta, we are finally here. We've waited all year to get to this week and finally have a chance to see Georgia and Alabama play in the SEC championship game. We're going to talk about that and much more. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's good to have you listening. Mike Bell, I'll tell you this, man. If you guys hear banging outside or a weird boom, boom, those are the guys fixing the siding on the house finally that I had to get done because these birds, they keep coming back, the woodpeckers. So I'm just warning you ahead of time, at some point throughout the show, these guys are going to get back to work and you're going to be like, what is that noise? It is the background noise of them fixing the siding so that these birds don't destroy the rest of my house, Mike. I'm so fed up with these woodpeckers. I am.
Yeah, I know. In the old days, you could just go get a BB gun and pow, pow, pow. But, of course, you can't.
Yes.
Can't do that. Well, you could, but somebody will rat you out.
Well, see, that's what I told Michelle. I was like, who's going to know? She was like, you cannot do that. I was like, who's going to know?
when we moved out to Long Island, my father got his dream house, and we built the deck, which only to have squirrels dropping nuts and acorns on it. My father took to the roof with a Daisy air rifle he bought from Wolf Sporting Goods, and because he figured if he used a Smith & Wesson snub-nosed 38, that might draw some attention. But sure enough, my dad's up on the roof, pop, 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 just killing squirrels like Davy Crockett at the Alamo. And then one of our neighbors like dropped a dime on him. It was a whole scene in the neighborhood. So I get you. I feel you, brother. Meanwhile, you wouldn't believe, real quick, I don't want to put it on Twitter because it just, it's...
Why? What are you talking about?
The lighting display at my house is so over the top. I did not want to... Plus, I don't want someone to know where I live and then, you know, I get somebody at my front door. Yeah. But I lined an entire, like, side of my property, like 150 feet of fence line, only to have my wife go, you know, we got the wrong end. The extension cord doesn't reach.
Oh, wow.
So I literally had to go, okay, let me go inside. I'm going to drink a scotch. I had some Talisker. Then I came back out and I just reversed it and finished the job. But anyway, man, yeah, so home ownership for you kids out there, don't try it. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's that time of year, decorations, and man, God bless you, because I'm seriously, the way things have been going, I'm like, I'm paying somebody this year. I'm just going to bring somebody. I know it's lame. I'm like, just the outside, not the inside. Inside the house,
how long is this woodpecker saga? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, that's going to be a small fortune. What are we
doing? Well, yeah, because what happened was they started in one place, and I don't know if it was a he or she. I don't know if it was a married couple or not. I don't know who they were, okay? They come back. And periodically they start different places and they put holes in the siding. Now this particular side of the house, the siding's a little bit older. So, they told me that the hardy plank, which is going to be replacing this stuff, is they can't get through it. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, Mike, this started back in the spring, I want to say.
Right.
And we talked about it. I chased it. Like, I put all this stuff out. We bought the machine and we thought we chased him away. But literally, you know, last week, we're sitting there and all of a sudden we hear. And I'm like,
oh no.
Is somebody at the door? What's going on? And this thing, so I go outside and I literally was like, hey, you know, like they can understand, get away. And this thing turned and looked at me. Shoot. Yeah. And this woodpecker literally, and if you've seen these woodpeckers, guys, you know, his neck, he just kind of did his neck like, yeah, whatever, mister. Oh. And went right back to work. So I was like, I'm done. I'm getting this fixed. So I finally made the call, and these guys are out here. They're doing a great job today. And big shout out to Siding Depot. I get nothing from that. I'm just telling you, right. Sometimes you call and you're like, hey, I need it now. And that's what they did. So they showed up, and they're getting the work done. So with that said, man, we got a lot to talk about today, Mike. Yesterday we saw our team do something they hadn't done all year. They ran the football effectively. Mm. And, you know, for Mike and I, we've always said, if we can get a running game, Matt's going to be a lot better quarterback.
Right.
And for yesterday's game, I told you, I didn't know what to think. Going into Thanksgiving, and by the way, thanks for all the pictures, guys, that you guys shared with the tailgate at home, Dukes and Bell tailgate at home with the Hey Man L, all the stuff you guys were sending between, you know, the end of last week for us, which was Wednesday through the end of the weekend. But we said, guys, we didn't know what to expect. So when they came out, Mike, to establish the run the way they did, and they did with Cordell Patterson back, and CP was such a beast. That was the thing that said, I said to myself, okay, if they can do this, they're going to win this game. And Mike, they won yesterday because they were able to run the football.
Right. I know that we spoke a lot about Mike Davis, and you know, it's just not happening. He had one nice run and catch, but for the most part, he's just not really getting it. Cordero Patterson stirs the drink. He makes everything happen. The dude had just two receptions, but again, as Carl said, he got it on the ground. 27-yard run, two scores in the red zone. I mean, that's what we need. To your point, it sets up play action because they were really getting after our butts, and Matt was struggling. Matt did not have a good day. And again, guys, we should be able to talk about our quarterback on a day-by-day, game-by-game basis without people either getting hurt or people going over the top with the vitriol. Matt did not have a good day, okay? I mean, I get it. You know, it can't always be perfect, okay?
He was a little off, right?
He was off. I mean, because yes. there was a throw to the flat that he airmailed. Pitts has got to learn to help his quarterback out sometimes on route running. I think he's got to come back. But Matt, and I don't know when Matt released it, he realized he was throwing it in triple coverage. But that's how pressed, pardon the pun, they were to get Pitts involved, Carl. And it took a while, but eventually Pitts did help move the chains to salt the game away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, Patterson, you're right. He is our most aggressive downhill runner. And when I say that, he hits the hole, guys. He's not lollygagging. You know, you've seen guys, we talk about this, get in there and cut and make something happen. And he has the ability to do that. And it's allowing him to get downhill on guys pretty quickly. His yards per average was 6.8 yesterday. So every time he touched it, he was getting you 7 yards a pop. That is incredible. I don't care who you are or what your name is, man. If you're getting 7 yards a pop, give credit to the guys up front. And Mike, up front, let's talk about that because we didn't know this going into the game. I mean, there was a couple of days there where the Falcons kind of went under the radar, and you know, there were some guys who were not available when the game started, like Debo, but Hennessy and Drew Dolman rotating on the offensive line. And I thought it really helped because they both played well yesterday.
Yeah, I think that the defense, by the way, you know, against Trevor Lawrence, you know, it's I kind of expected them to actually make his life even more of a living hell, but we'll talk about the defense in a second. But the offense, Carl, I thought that you run the football, sets up the play action. Matt is so much more effective with the play action. We talked about Pitts just now about how they could not seem to get him into any kind of rhythm. I just thought the other guy stepped up, Russell Gage, with a couple of nice grabs, including a touchdown. And again, it's a guy you've challenged. Like, hey, Russell, we need you to step up. We said this guy can be a bona fide number two or three. But to me yesterday, and again, guys, it's not a statement about mental health. It's just a fact about football. We missed Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
When they D up Pitts the way they did, and again, you got to give credit. You know, I thought that Tyson Campbell did a really nice job on everybody that he was going up against. But, Carl, you miss Ridley so much in some of the matchups that would have been there because of the way they were approaching Patterson and Pitts.
Yeah, I'm trying to see who said this earlier to me because he's right. And he was like, if we can get Calvin Ridley back, we might be able to do something here as far as a real playoff run. I know Falcon fans don't want to hear this because, again, the bad has been really bad. But we're in the hunt. This team is 5-6.
And the NFC is all over the place right now.
I know it sounds crazy. And I know you may be like, you know what, I don't even know what I'd do if they made the playoffs. Well, you know what? They just might. And when you look at the standings, guys, the top is easy, right? You got the Cardinals, you got the Packers who won yesterday, and the Buccaneers who were incredible in the 2 minute drill yesterday with Brady, but it was more about Fournette. But then you start looking at this and you go, well, the Vikings are 5-6. And right now, they're the 17th. There's an extra spot this year with the extra 17 week season. The Vikings are 5-6, and right now they would be in the playoffs. We're right underneath them. So there's a chance, Mike, that we could do something. But I get back to the Calvin Ridley thing. We need for Ridley at some point to come back. Again, I know nobody's rushing him, but I think it's a valid and fair point. Again, nothing about mental health, but simply saying from a football perspective, this team is better with him on the field.
Just is. It just is. And look, I know that, as you said, we're trying to kind of juggle three or four footballs, if you will, because you get some guys who want this thing to be as bad as possible to get the highest possible draft pick. As a Falcon fan, I don't want to sit through two more meaningless home games. I want these to matter, you know, and it matters. Tom Brady, this game matters. Now, we may lose, but these were in the – guys, at least this late in the year, after 3 years in a row, the season being over by Thanksgiving, or actually, check that, Halloween, it's kind of nice that we've actually got something cooking. Yes, a better football team would have put Jacksonville away in the first quarter. We are a work in progress, but it's fun to watch for me. I'll take it.
I'm with you, man. And I agree. This Bucs game is huge. Coach's show on the way tonight at 6 o'clock, but we got a lot to cover between now and then. When we come back, this is the week. We've been talking about it for months, and now it's here. Will the Dogs finish? We're going to talk about it coming up. This hour of Dukes and Bell brought to you by Domino's. We are going to get to the headlines, get you caught up on all the things that happened over the weekend. Crazy coaching moves that have college football talking, which we'll get into as well. But, Mike, this is what we've been waiting for. And Stetson Bennett talked about this after the Georgia Tech game, which was really unwatchable. I mean, to be quite honest with you. And if you're a Georgia Tech fan, you know, this has to be another low point, another three-win season. The last two games humiliated by Notre Dame and Georgia to finish the season, and so much so there were coaching changes on Coach, you know, Coach Collins' watch here. But we'll see where that goes. But Mike, let's hear from Stetson Bennett, because I think he said this best. We're 12-0, but now this is where everybody's going to say, how good are they?
First 12-0 season, first undefeated season since 1982. You know, it's a big accomplishment, but you know, now the real fun starts.
And the real fun is Saturday, right?
Yeah, man. Mailman did his job, and I mean, Brock Bowers, unbelievable. When's the last time you saw a tight end running away from the defensive backs?
He's got speed, bro.
I mean, that one was just one of those wow moments. I was joking around with Randy Mack. I was doing the, you know, look at that Caucasian run, Carl. I mean,
he's got some speed.
Yeah, man. Georgia Tech is just a hot mess, and I know I just texted you during the commercial break. It happened before, as we were coming on the air. Jahmyr Gibbs is hitting the transfer portal. According to Kelly Quinlan, who covers Tech, because he did the math, Gibbs is third in the nation in all-purpose yards, and a guy that only had two attempts against the Georgia Bulldogs. He is out. Dalton, Georgia boy, is going to be out, and that's a guy that, you know, helps you get to six wins in a bowl game next year.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I don't know what else Jeff Collins can do next year.
I don't either. And here's the thing. I mean, making the right hire with your OC is one thing. You're going to get another safeties coach in there, which they let go. But, you know, ultimately, this is still about the Jims and the Joes, right? We talk
and
about
a terrible,
it all the time.
Terrible defense.
But, and they didn't fire the defensive coordinator, which I question, but neither here nor there. If Jeff feels like, you know, there's certain guys that are getting jobs done on the staff and other guys are not, this is how you go through this. But, Mike, we say this all the time. At some point, it's going to be Jeff Collins, right? You're 3 years in. Year four, this is where that's got to be.
This is it. This is it, period.
It's got to be progress. And what is progress? Is that doubling the three wins? Is that six wins? That's not left up to me. That's left up to the AD and the folks who make those decisions. I'll say this, though. For Tech fans right now, you kind of feel like you're in limbo. You know, you haven't right. made any progress in your eyes. And I know Jeff Collins has said he's made progress with the players, even though the results are not showing on the field. I do agree with him. I see in some areas, but it's not showing with wins. And wins are what people see, and that's what we talk about, and that's what matters. So Georgia Tech, and we're going to, over the next, you know, couple of days, talk about where they're going and what's going on as we do a debrief with their season being over. But the focus is right now is on the SEC championship game. And for Stetson Bennett, Mike, 12-0, the test is Alabama. We know Alabama squeaked by, and I say this because it was a four overtime game, but if you watched it, Alabama should have lost this game on Saturday. They had Auburn had them and let them back in the game and let them, you know, allowed them to make some plays and give Alabama credit. But as I watched this game play out, Alabama couldn't do anything, Mike. They weren't doing anything against Auburn. And then they made basically two plays, which right. is all it took to get back in the game. And then it went to overtime. And that's when Alabama was like, okay, we're going to shine. And they did.
And it was funny because, you know, Auburn's game plan, other than maybe rushing five at a time, it was nothing really that complicated. You know, it was like your defense, just your athletes against their athletes. So Georgia can get there with three guys. And I know that, you know, you got a Heisman candidate, a quarterback, and he rallied and he made some big throws late. But, yeah, for much of that game, I mean, I was joking around. I was waiting for Saban's head to explode like that scene in Scanners because, man, there were a lot of mistakes and penalties and just all sorts of stuff. And look, I know the Auburn. And by the way, I feel for Auburn fans. You know, as a guy that when I moved here, I kind of realized early on that Auburn was the Mets and Alabama's the Yankees. And my God, could you imagine what it was like waking up Sunday morning as a Tiger fan?
It hurts. I mean, it does, man. You had them. You should have beat them. But as we look at this thing right now, and you know, Alabama's still 11-1. It's still a very good football team. They are not going to show up at Mercedes-Benz on Saturday and go, all right, George, it's your year. You guys go ahead and take this. Bryce Young's going to play, guys. They're going to show up. And I don't know, Mike, if you think that Georgia is way better than Alabama or just a little better than Alabama. Either way, they're going to get a chance to finally prove it after being number one for a majority of the year. We've been saying it all summer, all year long. If not now, Mike.
When? Now, two things, and I'm sure I wasn't the only person who felt this way. And again, I obviously adopt Georgia once my Noles are gone, and that was easy this year. We got a lot of buddies that are Georgia fans, go to a lot of games. You and I both do. But, Carl, I was hoping that Alabama was going to come back because I wanted this game to have juice.
I did too.
I wanted the SEC championship to have some juice. But here's the question that I ask you, and I was asking some other Georgia fans today. Do you think that Alabama, I mean, it's, I don't know, they come in a mile high, or Saban's still, I mean, obviously, you got the win, but Saban's going to be killing them all week for all the mistakes and what they can't do against Georgia. But is this the wrong time to get Bama off the heels of an unbelievable historic comeback, first overtime in Iron Bowl history?
It's a great question because I think they found out something about themselves. I do. Now, do I think Georgia's better? Yes, I've been saying it all year. They're the most complete football team in college football. I love what Michigan did over the weekend. I've been on Cincinnati all year. We can talk about Oklahoma State. Georgia's the most complete football team. But it doesn't guarantee that you go and win the championship. Mm. So Alabama learned something about themselves, and you're right. I don't think Saban kills them, Mike. I actually think he's like, when you're capable of doing the things you need to do, this is how we play. The way we ended that game is what can be done if we play up to our ability. And I think guys are going to buy into it. Now, they still got to go out and make plays, but I will say this. Auburn's defensive game plan worked.
Yeah, they got after, I mean, they got after Young. I mean, he struggled in the first half big time. And I thought, you know, Auburn, Carl, had a great chance to, you know, to finish the game. You know, I mean, it's just with 2 minutes left, and it's just unbelievable. If Bigsby could have just stayed in bounds, I know that's going to be what Auburn fans will be talking about to some of them to the day they die.
Yeah.
But I mean, but two ways of looking at this. You know, we just talked about, obviously, that Georgia can come up with some things that, you know, and do a better version of what Auburn did. But this is also something that came up over the weekend. I heard this on College Game Day. I saw this on blogs that, and this is undeniable, and you cannot, and this isn't a shot. Georgia's had all these amazing stats defensively. Alabama is the best team Georgia has played, will be all season long.
Hands down.
Not up for debate.
Hands down. Not even close. And especially offensively. Now, I know you're going to say, well, wait a minute. Georgia killed Auburn, right? They went to the Plains. They destroyed them. I don't look at those as comparable games and say, because Georgia destroyed Auburn and Alabama had to win in four overtimes, that means Georgia is way better than Alabama. Because every game is different. Every Saturday is different. And I know people want to get caught up in that. Well, we beat Auburn so bad, it's going to be a blowout. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you that on Saturday. If Georgia does blow them out, great. But I'm not going to go into this game, Mike, thinking because Georgia dominated the way they did three or four Saturdays ago and Alabama squeaked by in a four-overtime game, that this is not going to be a battle.
But it's Auburn, an Auburn team that had some bad losses, and I thought Ryan Harsin in his first Iron Bowl, I mean, that's a pretty impressive showing. I mean, they certainly had things dialed in. You know, you just wish, and again, their quarterback was also hurt in the second half. He was banged up a lot, and they were just, you know, trying to grind. But I just thought the Auburn Tigers showed you some things that, you know, Georgia obviously can do. And I get it. You're right. You're going to get into comparative scores. That's unavoidable. Fans are going to say we went to Jordan Hare. But again, this is the Iron Bowl. All bets are off. Even though Auburn had lost three games in a row, including a loss to South Carolina coming in, you know this was their Super Bowl, what they did against Alabama.
It was, man. And they played like it. I mean, again, they were right there. They were on the cusp of getting the upset, feeling great about ending their season because it didn't end the way they wanted to. Bo Nix was on the sidelines. You know, you had all these things going against you, and they showed up. That's the thing. Alabama's going to show up on Saturday. And I've been saying, I can't wait, because what I want, Mike, I want Georgia to prove to the rest of the country what we already know. And that is, without a hand, you know, without a doubt, that they are the best team in the country. They win the SEC championship. They are now, I'm just fast forwarding, 13-0. They'll be the number one team in the college football playoff. And let's see who they play. That's what I want, because I want Georgia fans and dog fans to say, you know what? This is what we've been waiting for. This has been the obstacle in your way. There's no better way and no better feeling in sports than the beat, the obstacle.
Right. And again, that you wish that, I mean, yeah, look, A&M, it's a shame that A&M has just lost some games. And there's, I mean, this last loss, Ed Ogeron's guys rallied for him and they beat A&M. You know, Jimbo Fisher, I mean, I don't know what is going on with A&M, how you cannot get teams up for some of these games. It's the SEC competition that you could not take. You know, I mean, that's on them. But Alabama right now, number four in the AP, we're going to talk about this coming up in the college football and the dog report. But do you think if they play close to Georgia with two losses, they still stay in the top four? Because whoever else is going to come up, Oklahoma State will get beat by anybody, including Michigan, I believe, in the top three. Notre Dame could sneak in. Is a two-loss Alabama going to make it? Are they gone? Because the next man up is something I don't know if I want to see in that top four.
Here's the debate for me, Mike. If you're talking about a two-loss Alabama, and let's just say it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're saying, when you say close loss, are you talking about Georgia kicking a field goal with 3 seconds left on the clock and Georgia wins?
Right.
Yeah, because that changes the whole conversation versus Georgia being up 17 and the game ends and you feel like there was no you know, doubt in your mind all afternoon. But I'll say this. Notre Dame is not playing a conference championship game. They're going to sit on the couch this weekend. That hurts them, okay? You can't tell me that the committee won't take an Oklahoma State team who's going to play for their conference championship and potentially be 12-1 and Big 12 champions over a team that's not playing in their conference championship or doesn't have one in Notre Dame and a two-loss Alabama. I think Alabama slides out, to answer your question. Oklahoma State slides in. Notre Dame is still on the outside looking in. Unless Alabama beats Georgia, and then we've got a whole nother set of scenarios. But I'm saying Georgia beating Alabama, Bama's out. I just don't think the committee's going to say they deserve more than a one-loss Oklahoma State conference champion.
Especially because of the way the Iron Bowl played out. They were obviously a huge favorite in that one, so that does matter. Notre Dame, again, they are what they are, brother. They're always going to have that big following. They're just sitting there, though, you know? And again, but the irony is they got beat by Cincinnati. So, I mean, there's no way we know if they're in the four, they're going to be seated four. Oklahoma State, I mean, hey, I was pulling for those guys. We'll talk about Lincoln Riley's departure for SC here in a second. But, you know, better defense. But then for a minute, it looked like Bedlam was going to be a shootout, you know. And then it just strange. That was a funky game, too, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, listen, the rivalry weekend was exciting in many ways. Some of these games lived up to the expectation. That was a weird game because it looked like they were going to lose. And then they found a way to come back. And, you know, with Oklahoma, I told you all year, did I not say they were flawed? Mm-hmm. Right. There was something about Oklahoma. Baylor exposed them. And then in this game, I just said, I'm taking Oklahoma State. They're just better. And it proved out to be true. But, you know, the whole Spencer Rattler thing, Mike, how dead is that? How dead is, he's going to be the first pick in the draft. How dead is that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, the dude, and by the way, did you see him on the sideline? Did you? I was looking for, like, those photos, because you always see JT Daniels talking to Stetson Bennett. I was looking for those angles of, like, him, you know, working with the guy who replaced
him. Mike, this here it is. It just hit. He's in the portal.
Well, there you have. So that would be why you didn't see him kind of commiserating with the starting quarterback. Hey, man, Oklahoma State will get Baylor in Jerry World. Michigan, you know, we've been maligning. Well, the entire world has maligned Jim Harbaugh. That was an unbelievable whooping at the Big House. Fun to watch, man. And now Michigan with a team that can run the football, Carl, in this final. There's no way, unless they stub their toe against Wisconsin.
It's going to be crazy. We're talking dogs, Bama, all week, guys. We've got experts, guests that are going to stop by. Make sure you're tuned in all week long as we get ready for the SEC Championship game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to come back. Falcons win. It is a Falcon Monday on the road, and yes, they're in the mix. I had a guy hit me up with the whole playoffs. Mm. Yes, playoffs.
Yes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Oh, it's all about the run game, guys. Falcons were able to run the football effectively. CP, that's Cordarrelle Patterson, 18 touches, 135 yards, 2 touchdowns, 108 yards rushing. Falcons had 100 yards in the first half. I mean, Mike, when's the last time that has happened, where they've had 100 yards in the first half?
As Stinger would say, be a long time, Bob. Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, I can't remember when. Yeah, it's certainly a guy. And again, we joked around and we say it a million times. And we said, wow, our run game, our backfield is going to be Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson, two guys nobody would draft in a fantasy league. Cordarrelle Patterson is the guy, as we said earlier, to stir the drink. He makes it happen. He runs with a ferocity. And by the way, he got nailed. He was trying to go out of bounds. And the doofus, either safety or linebacker with the long stringy hair, you know, he gave himself up early in the first half. And the guy still powed him right there at the line. And I was worried for a second because he looked a little gimpy. But Patterson got right back out there. I'm back on that horse, Carl. And he runs for 108 yards, as you said, averaging 6.8. We had 2 touchdowns.
Chris just said to me that the Buffalo Bills now own the longest streak without a 100-yard rusher. It was the Falcons up until yesterday. Now the Bills own that streak. Let's hear from Arthur Smith talking about the defense. Because here's the thing, too. Whether we want to talk about it or not, Trevor Lawrence had a chance to go down and do something, and the defense got a stop, got off the field. Let's hear from Arthur Smith.
Guys, again, Deron, Eric, these guys provide a lot of steady leadership. It's good to see Richie and Darren. It's a long season. We try to have perspective there, too. They came up. They made plays, and guys continually, Ade's continually have a, you know, just a quiet pro, and a lot of these young guys are having impacts, and they're surrounded by some smart vets, and we got to play together as a team.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought Jacksonville, Carl, just continued to, you know, just shoot themselves in the foot with crucial penalties on third or fourth down. We had a field goal attempt, which we took the points off the board after they used some leverage. Now, in the old days, if there was a crease, you would simply put your hands on the shoulder pads of the guys and go, excuse me, and run right in here. Can't do that anymore. So Jacksonville got flagged on that one. But at the end of the game, Carl, how awful did a guy – isn't it funny how we're used to seeing this guy looking like a world beater, Trevor Lawrence, whether it's Cartersville or Clemson, and then – way that last throw, I mean, just fizzled out with not even close.
No. I mean, he struggled, Mike. He's had a tough season. This has been a rookie learning curve kind of year for Trevor Lawrence. And there's many factors, right? We've talked about coaching, the players around him and all of that. You know, in college, some people say the Clemson teams he played on could beat some NFL teams. We know that's not true, but that's right. Where the talent level was. So he's got some growing to do. Arthur Smith also talked about rebounding. And this is a big one, guys. We got embarrassed. right? Thursday night, nobody wanted to talk about it. Everybody's like, man, I don't want to even deal with that. Guess what? This team didn't tuck its head between its legs. They said, let's go play and keep playing. Arthur Smith.
You take some time. I mean, the human emotion right after, you know, you lose two games like that, it's easy to, like I said, to go through the range of emotions. But when you take a step back and you can have some perspective, and that's what we're always trying to say, here, have some perspective. Here's where we're at. We know why. We deserve to be where we're at. But it's not catastrophic. I think too many times people think of the, you know, instant result. You know, oh, well, there's a lot of ways to go with it. But I don't believe in that, and this team doesn't. And you just get it to work. Things we want to tweak, we'll continue to do that. So it says a lot about the character of these players and the staff.
It felt catastrophic, though, right?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, when you lose the way you did, I mean, getting outscored, 68 to nothing? I mean, we looked terrible. We just looked god-awful in those games. And again, in a short period of time between the Cowboys loss down in Dallas and then the Thursday night loss to the Patriots. And I guess, you know, had we lost coming out of like a mini bye week to Jacksonville? And again, I think if we have all our weapons, if Calvin Ridley's there, if the offensive line's a little bit better, and they did rotate, by the way, Dahlman got in there for a third of the snaps. They took Hennessy, and that was the plan. We'll talk more about that when we get a chance to talk to Coach Wednesday. But I think a Falcons team a little more healthy, a little more, you know, efficient, would smoke these guys. I mean, it was, and they were giving you the game on the platter. What did you make real quick? And again, we'll ask Arthur about this on Wednesday, but what did you make of not calling a timeout sooner before the half? Because our intention was to go down the field. We weren't going to sit on it. We did try to throw the ball down the field. That's when Matt threw in a triple coverage and he got picked off. I just didn't like the way you let Jacksonville kick a field goal and burn time off that clock. I mean, I know I'm maybe nitpicking, but a few other guys noticed that. We were talking about it on Twitter.
No, listen, those are the things in a closer game with a better team that matter. That's going to get you beat potentially. So I think it's fair, and I'm curious to see what Coach Smith's thinking was there. He always tells us on the show, right? Every right. scenario is different. Yes, he's got the card, the analytics card that they go to and talk about time and, you know, what's left and what you should do and timeouts and all this stuff. But then the other part of it is just being a coach and having feel. And I'm with you. I didn't necessarily like it either, Mike. I'm with you. UGA finishes the regular season undefeated, and now they will face Alabama. Let's hear from Kirby.
We know it's a big one coming up. Everybody's had it kind of circled and seen it out there, and we've really tried to work hard on getting better, and that's been the emphasis, is what can we improve on. In the last 2 weeks, we tried to be ascending. We tried to get some guys back healthy, and that's going to be the focus this week, is nobody trying to do more than they should. We just need to be at our best, and we need to play one of our best football games. They've got a really talented football team.
Yeah, I mean, about what we expected on the script. Georgia Tech gets the ball, goes 3 and out, and Georgia just pretty much in control, obviously, the whole way. And we spent more time at the start of the show talking about the future of Jeff Collins, and he's gonna have to, I think, fire a few more assistants, Carl, before they get this this offseason over with. Recruiting 2 weeks away, by the way. Jahmyr Gibbs just hit the transfer portal. Georgia's getting every big-time recruit on the planet. With all the uncertainty now with some of the coaches, and we'll talk more about this at 4, Carl, but between Lincoln Riley's departure, the rumors about South Florida, and will Manny Diaz keep his job, I think Kirby's going to increase on this recruiting class.
I do, too. You got a lot of uncertainty right now from some of the big-time recruits who are thinking, okay, maybe I've committed. I got a couple more weeks. Where is the best place for me to ultimately end up? And you're right. I think that he could benefit, programs that are stable, right? The Alabamas, the Georgias, they're going to benefit, Mike, from the unstable situations right now. Hey, Hawks played over the weekend, guys. They played the Knicks, lost. And that's not the bad news. The bad news is now you've got injuries, more injuries to this team with Bogey, who's got a right ankle sprain. He's going to be out a couple of weeks. And then you got Cam Reddish with a left wrist sprain. He's listed as day-to-day, but Nate McMillan said, look, we went on the road, we handled business, we came back home, and we played well despite the yell.
Well, we take it one game at a time. You know, I think the chemistry, you're starting to see they're playing better. They seem more connected out there on both ends of the floor. You don't win, 7 games in a row without playing good basketball and being connected.
Yeah, just, the injuries, lower scoring game, too, against the Knicks, and that's what Thibodeau wants. And defensively, I thought Knicks going to have brought some. No real animosity. Everybody was kind of dapping each other up after the game, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, playoff intensity is different. Magic used to say it's money time. And right. he's right. Playoffs are a different deal, man. And I'm trying to win. I'm not trying to be friends at that point. Regular season, a little bit more laid back. We've seen that. So I have no issues with that. But when it comes time and we are trying to make it happen, you got to go up a notch. And I think, you know, last year, trading companies showed that they were able to do that. But, yeah, I don't think anybody dislikes, you know, somebody else on this team just because of what happened last year. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment, guys. As always, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live well. Hey, as we've been talking about the dogs, and we're going to talk more, Kirby talks about, you know, the way this group is. They've been singularly focused, he said, over the weekend after they beat Georgia Tech, and that has been to beat everybody in front of them. And they've not looked ahead, which is probably why they've been so good in every game where we go, oh, it's going to be close, and it hadn't been close. So they've got to do that again to get an SEC championship on Saturday. We're going to dive more into that. But when we come back, NFL Blitz is on the way. And, Mike, Aaron Rodgers may have toe surgery. And Cam Newton, it's already bad again. It's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.